Hello, folks. Worst audio ever? Question mark. For me, at least. This is, you know, I'm sure someone else has made worst audio at some point, but I had a choppy gremlin, a gremlin of the choppies going on, which is a thing that happens sometimes. I think I've found ways to fix it. Also, things just need an update, but yes. So I apologize in advance. If things are a little choppy, you're not losing it. It's just the way it is. But otherwise, have fun. Bye. Mwah. So hard, like you just slapped him to death.
Well, because refs are very delicate.
Welcome back to Monday Night Fake Fights, where I, Garrett Kaler, she, they, and Moxley's here, she, they. I'm doing a rewatch of the Monday Night Wars and making it more and more people's problem. More selectively weird people. This week, I literally just threw a dart at the dartboard that is my skyline, hit a mutual, and it worked, because this week's esteemed victim is...
On a skyline, I'm Big Mistake.
Yeah,
and a lot of parts of real life too, but my name's Jen. I'm she, her. I'm rapidly approaching my 50s, and I've watched wrestling since I was a little kid with my dad. So
no shit, there you go. Yeah, like right into the next question. So you're an old hat. That's awesome.
Yeah, I started watching. Well, my dad watched wrestling from he was older when they had me. So he watched wrestling from like the 40s and 50s.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. And then I started watching in the 80s.
Oh, wow. That's so cool. Yeah. I realized that VHS tapes wrestling was a thing when I was like five, you know, so like early 90s. And then a couple months before where we started watching, I realized it was actually on TV show. I started watching a couple months from where we're watching now, I realized, oh shit, this is on TV. But yeah, so like around then, and then I stopped in after 9/11 and took 20 years off. But now it's like this and Star Trek is my things, basically.
No, I started watching back when it was like from Madison Square Garden and Patterson and Monsoon were that on the announce desk, and they announce where you're from and your weight, and they announce the time limit and the falls and everything. Yeah,
and it's like all completely different, and all of it was like actually state sanctioned and all in that, and there was still is before Vince went to court and said, "We're faking it. Please don't tax me." basically,
oh Christ, I started watching it with my dad before Vince bought it from his dad.
Wow. So you that's not
very
amazing.
Long before, but a little bit before.
That you might be our oldest wrestling fan that we've had on here. That's our longest running. Congratulations, Jen.
Well, I admit, like I did the same thing. I did the like, I'm kind of not the 90s.
It was like I'm gonna take a little bit. Everyone takes a break for a while there, and then you come back and you go, wait, I still love this. I'm the kind of person that when that happened, I went back and started watching everything I could get my hands on. So I watched the Madison Square Garden stuff, and I watched as much as I can get of the really old stuff. Like I'm infatuated with the fact that it goes back so far. And I don't know if you saw when I shared the trailer for that new movie Queen of the Ring.
Yes.
You know, I think, oh my god, I'm so jazzed. that kind of shit, because that they say McMahon in that, and that's not Vince's dad, that's Vince's grandpa.
Right.
Is in that movie. And I'm just like, I'm over here like, yes, in my veins. Like that's gonna give me an IV drip of that shit. It was NWA and all that. Like, fuck yeah. That stuff is the Wild West. I love it all. It's so crazy. Yeah. Which is wild that it ends up coming up. That's a good segue into our shows this week, because we mentioned Patterson. Do you want to start with Nitro or Raw?
Whichever one you want. I'm an old Dork, I've got a page of notes for each one.
Yeah, me too. Excellent. I'm going to start with Raw because they did, because with that good segue. Yeah. We mentioned Pat Patterson. They showed the In Memoriam for Ray Stevens died. And it was like, oh, this Pat's buddy.
Yeah, but I just like, I mean, both shows made a nod to it, but I don't think that a lot of people who were watching at that point had any idea really who he was.
Which is unfortunate. We'll get to it when we get to Raw. I personally did like Raw, or Nitro, I mean. I like Nitro's better.
I did too. They mentioned the Cauliflower Alley Club, which I liked. And kind of, because it gave you some sort of like reference of like, oh, this is from a while ago.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if listeners know about the Cauliflower Alley Club. I love that you brought it up. It's showing that, yes, you are in fact the old school fan that my nerd brain wants to be. The Cauliflower Alley Club is like, imagine like the club that does the roasts. I forget.
Yes, it's like the Friars Club for wrestling.
Friars Club. The Friars Club for wrestling and also stunt people in Hollywood. It started as both. Because there was that much overlap there. Which is how you get like, I mean, there was people who were professional wrestlers who did wrestling as side work who were in Wizard of Oz, one of the Munchkins. Like, because there was that much overlap, because basically it was just another show. It was a stage show.
Yeah, and you're like, you got to eat, you got to pay rent. So, yeah.
Exactly. So, like, while In Memoriam to Ray Stevens, it's like, okay, woo on Raw. We'll talk, we'll skip it when we get there, but like we talked about now, Nitro shows like a number where you can donate to the Cauliflower Alley Club. And that was one of the cooler things I've seen so far. Because I was like, that's a deep cut, you know?
Well, it's just like Vince's thing, like it was that quick blurb at the very beginning, and it kind of felt like, yeah, I got to do this because otherwise my dad's going to yell at me sort of feeling.
Yeah, he's going to be mad, and Pat will be mad, you know? Right. Like, we got him doing it for Patterson, you know, and like, yeah, okay, like blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I just imagine he's not really all that happy. And that's how a lot of things go. Because Vince doesn't have a soul, so he doesn't know.
True.
He's like, this is what you do when you're sad, right? Yeah, like we're guessing.
It's like, watch a couple more movies and get some of the mannerisms down. Come on,
right? and just to like really drive that home, Jen, we go from the seriousness of this amazing guy dying to the ex-wife of a superstar in the shadows saying that Shawn Michaels ruined her life.
That terrible, that the Jerry Springer, like, yes, Vince Russo is doing things here.
I think we are really beginning to see the Russo-fication. I have not looked into it because I'm not a professional. But like, it's the kind of thing where I feel like if I looked into this and like found the people who know their shit, Vince Russo probably wrote some of this.
I can't imagine that he didn't write this Shawn Michaels silhouette ex-wife wine thing, because it's that horrible, like, I don't understand how girls work, and it's like something I saw on Montel Williams sort of crap that he's known for.
Yeah, like sad Reddit shit. Yeah, sad Reddit basically.
Yes.
What you don't understand is I was on Chan, you know, and like, no, shut up, Ruth. Like, we don't care.
Like, no, we can tell that you were on 4chan, believe me.
Pay attention, folks. 4chan will come into question later for me, but that's something else. 123 Young Adult comes out to fight Mark Marrow. You can tell because he has a goatee now, like a Star Trek Mirror Universe kid.
Yes.
So I feel like it's necessary. He's no longer a kid, not quite a man.
It's that adolescent, like, get out of my room, mom, period of his life.
Yeah, exactly. He's reading YA fiction. He's getting ready to graduate and looking at colleges. You know, I'm proud of him. He's gonna go get involved with not a great crowd though when he does leave for school.
But I mean, that's school is the time when you do those screw up things because you're still young enough to recover.
Yeah, you get in the wrong click, if you know what I mean. And yeah, you recover, you come back, and next thing you know, you're an X-Pac. Folks, pay attention to the next 3 years of the show. We just told you. Spoilers. And Triple Paul is hanging out, because why not? Well, a lady pets him like he's a puppy girl.
Oh, my God. Did you notice that the woman they put with him, she's like, okay, I don't want to say like Timu Miss Elizabeth, but.
Kind of. Yeah, that's what they're going for.
Like Home Goods Miss Elizabeth.
Yeah, yeah, Kirkwood brand, whatever the Costco brand, yeah. Which, you know, there's nothing wrong with Costco. Costco is amazing, but you're not missing this.
No, but it's just, like, out of, like, how easy it is to cast a model, Vince deliberately went for what was the hot chick of the 80s for WWF.
Yeah, because it's the last thing that made him a lot of money. That's, basically, that's going to be Vince from here on.
Yeah, it's kind of like they just stole all my people, so I'm just gonna make some. They look like new them, ones. So it's good enough.
Yeah, he's gonna do that quite literally soon. But yeah. Meanwhile, Marrow and the Kid are pretty hard. While Paul tries to do things on commentary, I guess I don't like it.
He's still not like fully developed. It's still a lot of that, like him with a Regal puffy shirt thing.
Yeah,
still carrying into it.
He's not the game yet. He's not adding at the end of every sentence yet. He hasn't quite figured that out yet.
Right. He's still trying to figure out a character.
Yeah, they really want him to be the blue blood, but he's just like, I don't know what that is. I'm sorry, Vince. I'm just a poor white supremacist. I don't know what, I don't know what a blue blood is. I just like Iron Crosses a whole lot. Don't ask. That font for the internal newsletter, I know it looks like Stormfront. Don't ask.
It compels attention. Just think of it that way.
Yeah. All publicity is good publicity, right? I'm the game. So meanwhile, Marrow and the Kid are, like I said, going pretty hard. Marrow does a dive to the outside that looked terrifying.
I gotta tell you, like, this made me really miss the Johnny B. Bad gimmick for Marrow, because it was a much better developed character than this wild man.
Yeah.
And he got to, like, do more.
It let him get his shit in even more fluidly, because he, yeah, it made more sense, and, like, he's so good.
Right.
Yeah, and, like, we've just, it's been really wild. This is the first time, I think, where someone that we got a lot of really good time with in Nitro before the switch is now over there. And it's like, this is weird. This is strange. Yeah, and, like, the makeup's still kind of be baddish, and, like...
Yeah, he's still got a little bit of Little Richard look around the eyes, but...
Yeah, he's still a little more tan than I would like. You know, that... But not paying attention... But not drawing attention to it like he was doing it in the WCW.
Right.
And in the meantime, he's cooking. Like, he's doing all his stuff, and it's amazing. At one point, he does, like, the over-the-top senton kind of deal, and he just lands balls first on his face. And I was like, oh, my God. There's a team making, and then there's Pat. He's like, yeah, it wasn't that great. Ow. Like, no one left that feeling good about themselves, you know? Everyone hurt there.
Yeah. But this drove me nuts, too, because, like, he is so good. And the announce table is treating this like just a run-of-the-mill dark jobber match, because that way they can point out, ooh, Sable.
They're making it busy, about Sable.
Yeah, and she's busy trying to do the, like, Stone Cold Fox thing, and it's like, no, you don't look like the Stone Cold, like, hard to read. You look like a mannequin. Because you're making no face.
She doesn't know how to do it yet. I feel like she... And maybe she gets better. I don't remember, because I was... very young and going through the wrong puberty, so I was biased, you know, like it was so it was like I can't remember. Part of the show is seeing how was this with clear eyes and a different you know, how's this all feel now. It turns out I'm still kind of 12 in that I giggled at the aggressive teabagging that 1-2-3 kid got. I still thought that move is banned in the UK due to obscenity laws. You're not allowed to do
that. I can see that.
No face sitting over there. It's in the rules. So after a while, Kiddo goes for, like, a suplex off the top that's way out of his league. Yeah. Yeah, we can all agree. Meryl reverses into a splash for the three. Trips is mad. I'm happy. I'm happy when Trips is mad. that's always good.
But the thing is, he's still in this weird, like, not really developed between his WCW and who he becomes, and he can't really sound convincingly mad.
Yeah, he just sounds like he's trying to act. Yeah, yes, instead of just doing it. Yeah.
Yes.
We it's on brand though that we get let's say really amazing legendary baked goods that are still a little gooey in the middle, because we get Ted DiBiase and Stone Cold promo from Superstars, and our good friend Steven looks like an Abercrombie model. I have never been more uncomfortable watching this show, and that's saying something. Like, what the fuck? It's got like a blue button up and Ray-Bans, and it's so gross. I was like, he's giving me the ick. I don't like this at all. You guys need to figure this out fast.
Yeah,
you're losing me. Like, if he doesn't chug a beer soon, I'm canceling the podcast. We get back. Yeah, it's rough to see.
It is, and it's just also one of those, like, I mean, as the show develops, you go on. But one of the things that hit me was like, can nobody talk? Does everybody need a manager or a valet?
Kinda, yeah, a lot of them. Yeah. That's, you're right. That's a really big difference between this and Nitro too, because a lot of guys on Nitro are just going out there and spitballing. And I mean, I guess at the same time though, when you got some of the managers and valets that you have at the time in Raw, you kind of want to give them the mic. I mean, but Jim Cornette's managed every heel. Of course you're going to give the mic to Jim Cornette, because like, he's real good at that, and Vader needs to make silly faces.
But of course, Vince can't let Ross and Jim just talk. He's got to stick himself in there.
He's got to, literally talk over them. We'll get there. Back to the grabs. I'm so mad we're getting ahead. We got it. We got to make sure we give Fatu making his difference against Bulldog's face proper credit. But first, we also have to talk about this. Unfortunately, a lady is making outlandish claims about how good Shawn Michaels smells and how much he fucks. Fucks so good. It ruined her life. The fucking was so good.
Of course it did, because it's Russo, so there's lots of body spray.
There's so much body spray.
Yeah, and lots of pretending that, like, well, women like dicks, right?
Yeah, that's so what much they like. And they can't help it with dicks, right? Yeah, right. Listen.
Yes.
What you don't understand is women love dicks. So much that some of them have them now. It's wonderful. Vince Russo is all in over this. It's terrible. So they do this weird little reversal of audio when she says ex-husband. And it kind of sounds like maybe she's saying a different name every time. And I was like, okay, like Zapruder again. I'm going to like listen to slow it down. And I think I heard a Flair. I think I heard a Marty, which I think might just be Marty Jannetty, which is funny because he's not even an ex superstar. I heard a Rick Rude and I heard a Randy. So like, Vince isn't mad. Don't put it in the paper that he's strange and unnecessary bit of sketch drama. And it just boils down to Sean fuck good and even does aftercare. And then he ghosted me because he's a madman.
Right. Which is exactly how Vince Russo would be like, yeah, that's what a dude does, man. Like, you stick it in her and then you leave.
God, I hate him so much. And this is who was trying to teach me how to boy. No wonder it didn't. Yeah, no wonder. Thank fuck. Lawler spends most of this match making euphemisms for Shawn being a slut, which I did kind of giggle at. The match itself's fun enough though. Fatu's having fun. Bulldog's being cowardly heel. He like runs to his wife in mid match throughout to just kind of get a hug. I got mad because that's Skip and Sonny's gimmick. Damn it! Like, don't do that. Well, it's like, gimmick infringement, pal.
Again, like, how many people do we have to have at the apron? Because we've got British Bulldog, and he's got his wife, and he's got Jim Cornette.
Oh yeah, the whole kit and caboodle. And this is a ongoing and it's going to get worse.
Oh, I know.
Because all of a sudden they just cut from, like, on the way to commercial, they just cut to two Samoan dudes in braids and suits and chains
hanging
and like
out. Yeah.
This is Fatu's family members. I was like, bloodline? Like the ones? Like, is this Anoa'i? What's going on? Is Roman here? A little baby Roman? Like, what is this? I don't remember any of this. And we get no names. It's just
members of Fatu. It's just some guys who look like some sort of cross between the stereotype of a Pacific Islander and a mafia guy.
Yeah. What do Samoan gangsters look like?
Right.
And they're just like, I don't know, like regular gangsters, like mob guys, but with braids. That's how that works. Like, sure. Why not? It's very Vince being lazy and trying to do something. I don't know what.
Yeah.
I feel like we are mercifully getting to the end of the Making a Difference Fatu character. He will be back soon as Sultan first, I believe. And then we get Rikishi. So soon, sir, you will be dancing and shaking your butts in people's faces to much acclaim. Something that makes sense, and your family literally runs the business now. Yeah. But God, that's got to feel good.
But then just like the whole, like, Vince still like so upset about what he lost.
Yeah.
Can I comment on how, why did we need to dress Davey Boy Smith like a slightly smoother around the edges Ultimate Warrior?
Kinda, and it really sort of is, even with the tassels. This whole match is. It feels like filler, and it very is like it's like an Ultimate filler match, which sucks because both these guys, like, when they're, I hate to say it begrudgingly, when Davey Boy Smith is on, he can be a very awesome wrestler. Most of the time, though, I think he's probably more or less being carried. Fatu is always pretty much on.
Smith gives good face.
He does.
Even back in the tag team years, you know, he always gave good face.
This is true.
But one thing with this match that I thought, because, like, I didn't watch stuff in the 90s, so looking at this match without having any past, like, the only clear heel was Cornette.
Yeah.
It wasn't really clear, like, who you were supposed to be on the side of. And then they at least let Fatu say, like, no, my family's WWF. To, like yeah, he is the face. He is the good guy here.
And it's all very confusing. No, you're right. Yeah. It's like Vince doesn't know how to do this yet. If he ever really, like, I feel like he did in the 80s, in the 90s, but he doesn't know how to do this yet because he's trying to, like, make it more legitimate and make it more sports entertainment. So he's trying to write, like, stories, but he's not good at it.
Well, it also feels like Russo's like, no, man, there are no good people or bad people. It's all shades of gray, man.
Yeah, you're putting that much on Russo already? All right,
I am. I'm not a fan.
Well, no, I believe you, but I.
Well, no, he started moving. He had finished his stint with the magazine, and he was in the writer's room for about a good year now.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Because I knew that he was in the magazine and he showed up on the Billionaire Ted sketches. But I guess he, like, straight up probably helped write those, which, God, that makes so much more sense. Oh, all right. No, folks, Jen, thank you for being a wealth of knowledge, more than me. Apparently, I thought we had time. No, we are living in the Russos.
Oh, no. I double checked and I looked up the years once he moved from the magazine to the writer's room, and he moved in 95 from what I was able to find. So this is well into him being in the writer's room, annoying the shit out of everyone.
My God. Well, I don't like that at all. there we are. That makes a lot of this make more sense. Mm-hmm. And this whole fascination with cuckoldry that they have going on here makes a lot more sense. There's a lot of that going on in Nitro too. But as far as the match goes, again, it's pretty solid because these guys are great. Fatu does his, like, running cutter, and Vince again calls it a bulldog, and I want to yell and scream it's not a bulldog. You like Vince, this is how do you not know this?
It's because he's never been really great on as an announcer.
Yeah, some people disagree. Last week's guest said no, the Vince, and I was like, you know, I'm not gonna kick you off the show, but I'm going to politely disagree.
Okay, his voice is really tied to the announce desk for many of us because of how many years he's done it. But in terms of like
actually commentating,
he's got to be paired with somebody who knows what the stuff is.
Yeah, because he can't, and Lawler isn't much better at this point, and that's why I need JR so bad, because these guys are not working for me. It's I've managed to, this is how it works, Jen, but after a while I'll have to focus on the graps and just really try so much to not listen to commentary, because the stuff they say pisses me off. They did a lot of stuff during this where it was like they're making references to things that I don't know because I was too young, but names and stuff that I'm guessing are political figures of some sort. And they just keep saying this non sequitur racist conservative shit. And I'm like, what's going on? It doesn't make sense that I realize it's 96.
Right.
Wasn't
well, it? Also, like, it's, they're talking about anything except for what's going on in the ring, which and is super frustrating.
And that's what makes it so terrible. It's like, even if I knew, I wouldn't care because I'm here for grabs. Right. But this is how they did that. And like, it's really, it's such a gross taste in my mouth to be like, oh man, they were really, this shit and like we wouldn't notice, you know.
Right
So gross. As far as the match itself though, Bulldog gets a power slam.
Yep.
Cleaner finish than I was expecting to be the whole
agreed.
Lawler tells Vince that Goldust is sweet on him, and I'm not excited for what that's gonna mean. You mentioned Fatu confirming, like, okay, I don't mean this is none of this makes sense. I'm so confused. Please just give me Sultan. Like, it's Sultan will also be like, you know, problematic, but at least he doesn't have to deal with whatever the fuck this is. And I remember him having some good matches with like Savio and I think even Undertaker. We'll get there.
Well, I just get frustrated. It's like, why are you, if you just want like a doesn't matter jobber match to fill space, why are you wasting like name people in that?
I think that my guess is, based on having watched all of this in succession now, is that Fatu is in this gimmick, is kind of coming down, like kind of coming to an end, like it's winding down. He's not as over as he was. So I feel like this was Vince's effort to like
wrap up the story. Yeah.
Wrap up the story. He's like, this isn't about, and again, to solidify that, it's not about the match. It's about the fact that what's his face is talking about Sean fucking his wife. Like that's the actual story that matters isn't the thing, and you know. So it's like, okay.
And God forbid we don't talk about it for like a whole 10 seconds, because obviously the audience would forget, right?
Oh my god. And this is why Raw has been so difficult to watch for the last 36 episodes. I'm not gonna say, man, hell, you've been here with me. Thank you. But holy shit. It gets better, I think. I'm pretty sure. I don't know. I could have just been a baby. We're here to find out. That's why I said for science, or in this case, home ec.
Yeah.
But you did mention a jobber squash matches, and I was like, well, they got one of those for you too. The Body Don has come out to fight Techno Team 2000.
yeah, which shows that we have no idea what techno is.
Or 2000. Yeah.
Oh, man.
No clue. I barely remember what this was. It turns out the one of these guys is Eric frickin' Watts. This is one of these guys is the kid of Cowboy Bill Watts.
Okay.
Legendary promoter and writer, not that great of a wrestler, like he never really kind of had it, you know, but they tried. Vince gave him a shot, you know.
But
he gave him a shot and he dressed him like this.
The only thing impressive is that like they're like a good foot taller than the Body Donnas.
Yeah, no, I at first I thought it was the Harris twins in a gimmick because they're just so tall. And I was right. like, holy shit. But they're dressed like, if y'all remember the episode of The Next Generation where Crusher and Troy are doing like jazzercising and like yes. stretching and yes. shit. They're, yeah, yep. no, it, Eric Watts and this other tall man are dressed like that. And it is Techno Team 2000. and it's just, oh, okay, sure. It's fun though. The Donnas are really good at tag team wrestling, so it's hard
yeah.
to have a bad match. But since it's again, like this keeps happening, Jen, every time I write something in my notes, like I'm having fun, they immediately
ruin it.
They cut to something that's not the wrestling I was having fun watching. And then that's just really what we're saying. And that's been the story the last few weeks is like, this is fun. What are the new Rockers doing? Let's go check in on that.
Yeah, and like even Vince has to mention that the Rockers gimmick is corny.
Yeah, Alfred Snow is just being a freaking dork. Young Al Snow is just like, yeah, I'm happy to be a Rocker. And Marty Jannetty's like,
I'm just happy
like,
to be here. Yeah.
Yeah, Marty Jannetty's just like, yeah, Vince, I mean, I killed a guy, I guess. They don't, just nothing there.
Nothing and works. They don't connect with each other. They don't connect with the audience.
And I do not think that their contract is going to be connected for much longer to them.
Yeah,
yeah. Young Al is going to be in ECW.
Yeah.
Things. Yeah.
And again, the announce table is not connected to the match
at all
because they start all their horrible homophobic supposed jokes about gold yeah. dust, and then at one point Lawler makes a plug for dick pills completely like out of nowhere. Yeah, that was yeah. weird as all get out.
You expect that from, you know, I don't know, podcasting in the 2010s, but not your wrestling in the 90s.
No,
right.
That was so weird to have just out of nowhere King pushing boner pills.
It's like
in the middle of a yeah.
There's been dick pills for so long. It's a staple. Apparently, it's a staple of our economy.
it appears to be like one of the foundations. No pun yeah, intended right. of wrestling.
Hey, yeah, no, exactly. It's a pillar, if you will. Oh,
right.
I just made myself sad with that one. but back to the grabs. Eric Watts gets an overhead suplex and drops on his fucking head.
Yeah, oh, man. I was like,
because I have to take note every time someone probably gets a concussion, I have to make sure to mention it on the show so I don't feel so bad for loving this shit.
But that was really bad too.
It
like
was
I
winced
seeing that. That was so like, you're not playing off. No, everyone knew that went wrong.
That was a botch. Yeah, that's all. Eric Watts, oh fuck, this is gonna be on Botchmania. Like, yeah, I'm sorry, Eric.
Yeah.
In 1996. Ooh. We need to send Matthew back in time to do Botchamania before YouTube existed. I'll find the technology. It's got to be in my sub basement somewhere.
But, what would be awesome was just like do some look back classic botches for Botchamania.
That is a good idea. We should one of us should tag him in on the Blue Sky and be like, do this. Classic Botchamania. Timeless. It'll be tied into Tony.
Timeless
Botchamania. Timeless Botchamania. Vince says, though, he would rather watch the action here, cut everyone off from the bullshit they are talking. And I was like, okay, really? Because, like, that, no. Like, it's like he heard me talking shit about what he was doing.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, oh, you know, like that thing I do. I'm just fucking screaming. Like, you're gaslighting me through time, Vince. Again, I'm building a time machine. But eventually poor Tom Pritchard goes to a top rope. He tries to do like a fallback elbow and it ends up kind of being like a nasty plunge. And we get, I think, our second concussion of the match.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? And then here we go.
Some for everyone.
Well, yeah, hey, there's enough for everybody. You get a concussion and you get a concussion. Lawler starts talking about gas prices. Vince says, what does that have to do with anything? I'm like, because it's an election year. He's not being like, subtle.
What has anything that you guys talked about during most of these matches had to do with the matches? Nothing.
Very little. Yeah. The Body Donnas end up with the win, and Vader and Cornette get talking to Jim Ross, and it's corny talking, and Vader just kind of barking and snarling. And
right, yeah.
I can't imagine, what direction do you give him? Just kind of Look at the camera. Scary. Yeah, look at the camera and like make your eyes real big and do noises and such. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Bark for me, sir.
Well, that's the kind of like when you got a guy who can't talk and you've got him with a manager that's just look intimidating.
Yeah.
Do whatever it is scary. To look scary. Yeah.
And I mean, Leon White, if anything, could look scary.
Yeah.
Right. Said terrifying to me. But Goldust and Marlena come out, not terrifying to me. They come to commentary. Dustin immediately just starts trying to lick Vince like right away. And I was just like, I'm that this is phobic, but I can call it right now. I'm going to love all of
them. Well, you know, like watching this, bless Dustin for how good he did with this terrible material. And God so damn good. Vince for punishing Dusty's kids.
Yeah,
for just the fact that they exist,
just for being Dusty's kids. Yeah, right. Exactly. And nothing, Dustin Rhodes is the perfect example of there's nothing more winning than like just living your best life with the shit you were given, you know. Yeah. Like, because like, yeah, you gave him this, I want to make fun of you for being queer, and instead he's like, I'm going to act my gold ass off.
Yeah.
Basically, because Vince tells them that they're going to have a casket match as Owen's making his way there. Dustin's like, fuck this. Like, let's get out of here.
Yep. Yeah.
Tries to leave, but Taker's music hits. And he's like, oh, I'm stuck. And he's freaking out. And he's just giving
and
it.
And he's so good at it.
Thing. Yeah. He's terrified. He's like terrified of him. And like, holy shit. And then he's like, Taker's coming out. He's like trying to tell him to cut, Mr. Cut. And Vince's like, they aren't cutting anything. There's no cutting, Mr. Goldust. And the lights come up and he just freaks out. Like, no.
I know. He does so much and adds so much depth and actual character to this complete, like, surface, homophobic, ha-ha, gay, wow, funny shit. Joke.
Yeah. Basically, just amazing. And almost like Vince can see that, like, oh no, he's upstaging me. He says he resembles Dennis Rodman at a recent signing, and that like celebs are starting to be queers too. Like he Vince is like, we started it.
Right. Yeah.
We did it first. We had the tranny first. You're like, and they're like, God, and like, no, you're not. You're doing this wrong. And then Waller's like, I wish I were kidding, and something about again like. Something about how someone said something about how it wasn't all that bad at first and too far with it. I don't know what he's talking about. I was just throwing my hands in the air like, what is this 90s election year wrestling is the weirdest shit I've seen so far. And it's early.
Yeah, no, it is really odd. It's just like, I don't know. There's all this bizarre name dropping, not just for like the elections, but for sports and everything. And it's
like they're trying to be topical. Like they're, yeah. And it's like, I don't want any of this from you guys. I want you to tell me about what's going on in the match.
Right. Yeah. Or at least talking about any, even not this match, but like at least wrestling.
Just anything. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's.
This should be good. It's Taker and Owen Hart. Like this, you know, like Taker's not wonderful, but Owen can match out of, I don't know, Undertaker.
And yet again, we're throwing Cornette with Hart.
Yeah.
You know, there's no good guys or bad guys. And we just got to have a manager. You have to.
Well, they really want to make sure that Undertaker is understood as the face. Because he's going to quite literally be burying our gaze. Yeah, it's a casket. But so Goldust is having a great time, though. Like, he goes from freaking the hell out to talking about how sexy and cold and clammy Taker is.
Yeah. I know. And like, when he starts messing with Paul Bearer, too.
Yeah, he starts like goosing
so
up on Paul Bearer.
With that. Both
and it's
of
like,
them are so good.
And I hate it because it's supposed to be awful, but they're doing a good job. And like, yeah. He's going from scared to horny. And like, it happens to all right. of us. And I get it.
Yeah, fear boner. Yeah.
Yeah, fear boner. It happens to everybody. So Owen You know, it keeps going, and then Goldust gets up to distract us. So, yeah, as you said, he goes to do sexual harassment on Paul Bearer. And, like, Lawler makes Chubby Chaser and various, like, fat gay jokes. And, like, all of this, it's like, I should be offended. But Dustin and Paul are doing such a good job that I'm just delighted to see camp. You know, like, when it comes down to it, I just love camp because I'm a fucking queer trans lady. Like, I can't help it. You do the camp, I get excited and giddy. Even if you're laughing at me, I don't even care that much because, like, Dustin's killing it.
they both are. They're both so good at portraying the emotions that you're supposed to be able to see from them. And they're so good at it. And there's no, like, trying to think about what's he sort of doing. It's so clear. It's so good. It's so believable. And it's like, it sucks that it's such shitty material that they're so good with.
Right. And thankfully, it gets a little bit better. Dustin gets some slightly better material in the future. But right now it is, we are firmly in the gay panic defense.
We're well into, like, 12 year olds laughing at gay jokes at the schoolyard thing. Yeah.
And that's the only idea they have. They're like, okay. And it's kind of funny because it's like, we made a queer character. Now what do we do? Like, how do you write a queer character? I don't know. Like, I'm a,
and not only like did we make it and like we don't know how to write it, but like people aren't just like skeeved out and laughing at it.
Some of them actually really like it and they're cheering it. Yeah.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, well, because those people cheering it, those are the queer ones. Like, we've always been there because the first time he came out, the very next Raw, the very next night, you had a bunch of guys in the makeup with the wigs. And I was like, yeah, those are the gay guys who are like, oh, you're doing drag. I got this wig already. We all have it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That's standard blonde, platinum blonde wig. Like, you know, so it's just.
It's also, I mean, this sort of character goes back to, like, Gorgeous George. I mean, this is not anything
it's not
new.
No. It's just Dustin kind of did it.
Killed
it. Yeah, he did it in a, he killed it. He did it in a way that literally no one was expecting and did not want him. We don't want you to do this so good.
Exactly. But, yeah, we want you to do this like the frat guy in a dress sort of joke. We're not expecting you to actually have a character.
Yeah, we want bosom buddies and instead you're giving us Kids in the Hall. What the fuck?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Like, totally. Yeah.
It's good enough to get Taker a win because he starts rubbing up on Owen.
And
that's enough for Taker to use the distraction and get a tombstone on him. And I think the real message here is that gay men and trans women and drag queens will treat red-blooded American men the way that men treat women.
And that's supposed to be horrifying. And what it is actually is it makes a whole lot of people in the audience say, like, yeah, good. Finally.
Yeah, good. Yeah, exactly. Like 20 years later, we're like, no, that's an unironic good storyline in wrestling.
Right.
We're like, right back then, we just got to enjoy that subtext and go like, yes, soak it in. Because they don't understand that that's what they're giving it to us. If all of that symbolism wasn't enough, Paul Bearer rolls out the actual casket to drive home. We will be murdering the queer. That's Raw, folks.
Yep.
And now when I first asked you on the show, I said, I want people to come on here for the sake of science. And you said, what about home economics? And since that's Raw, I have to let you know, for the sake of home economics, no matter what the internet tells you, sickos, chicken sashimi is not a thing. Don't do it. It's a bad idea. You'll die.
poultry especially is not good.
Yeah, home
in
economics.
Any sort of undercooked.
It tells me 167 degrees Fahrenheit. That's what you need to get chicken to. Everyone write that down. This will be on the final.
You want the juices to run clear.
Yes, it's very important, especially with RFK. It's like, please temp everything. I'm going to miss rare steak too, but for the love of God.
Worms are not good.
Yeah, unless you know the cow. Which is a thing you could do. Go meet your cows.
This is true. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you have the ability, go meet your cows. They're lovely people, but you know, cows.
Yes. And you don't have to go to the restaurant at the end of the universe to do so anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Nice deep cut. Fantastic. Yeah. Well, what a way to end Raw there. Well, hey, sickos. Still haven't found Bad Street. Folks around here have been, well, let's say prickly. I tell you, it sure make old Guy Kendricks feel a lot better in my genetically programmed heart. If y'all could like, subscribe, maybe review the podcast wherever you listen to your podcast. And, you know, maybe even swing by patreon.com/mnffpod and help support the show and, you know, get some access to bonus content, pay-per-view watch-alongs like Slamboree 96 coming soon. You can even get your name on the pod, but... well, wait a minute. Is that a stadium? The Twins, I'm in Vern's territory. Hey, here. Excuse me, can you tell me how to get to the Gagne Gym?
Fuck-ass bitch. Fuck you.
Hey, well, so much for Minnesota Nice. Nitro, so much better. Like a breath of fresh air 2 weeks in a row now. Live from Daytona Beach, and holy hell, that's a Long Beach.
Yes, it is. And they are so much pyro.
Yeah, holy crap.
We're making sure everyone knows we're spending more money than Vince. We're going to blow up everything.
We're going to blow up everything. We're going to give so much people the black lung, and it's going to be fine. Yep. I want that studied. Like, I want people who, like, went to a lot of these shows in the 90s study their lungs, like, to see just how bad it was.
This is before the Great White concert in Rhode Island, and yeah, so we were still using pyro with complete abandon.
You cannot do that anymore. Yeah, no. You think they learned their lesson? They still occasionally set WrestleMania sound.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't do that. Think of the show. But yes, Nitro with lots of pyro, which again, dangerous sounding mixture. It's lead up to NBA tonight, so this is a huge reason I think why we get early Nitro and did well early, because they're on the same network as mainstream sports. That had to help.
Yes, yes. And the nice thing is that when their announce desk is doing tie-in comments about real sports, it makes sense because they're talking about the other sports that are on Turner networks. They're talking about basketball. They're talking about NASCAR.
They're not just dropping random names, Vince and Jerry.
Right, right.
Oh, my God. Yeah, no, you're really hitting the nail on that. That's what's so infuriating. I can't remember who it was, but a couple guests ago, we talked about how, like, Raw is like corny and terrible, but doesn't mean to be. But Nitro is like corny and means to be, and that makes it cool.
Yes,
like that's the difference. It's like they know
intentions
what they're doing.
Matter.
Yes, intentions matter. Where like Vince is trying to seriously be this, and he sucks at it, and it just comes off as disingenuous because he's not a real human. Like he's not a human being. He doesn't have a soul. He's just a monster.
it's a clear idea that Vince has figured out that what he did in the 80s isn't working anymore, but he has no idea what to do next. So he's just throwing stuff at the wall and hoping and praying
something sticks. He's flailing so hard, my poor guy. If you were a better person, I'd feel bad, but, you know, you're not, so.
I feel bad for the other people in the office.
I almost feel bad for Jerry, but again, no. Second kick. I feel bad for us watching it.
The real victims.
Right. And speaking of the victims, poor Bobby Heenan's mic isn't turned on, and he's doing his job so hard. It's not working.
And he is the saving grace of the announce table there.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And he has been the great joy of this show so far, has been introducing people who have never known what a Bobby Heenan is to the concept of a Bobby Heenan, right? Like he's just so good. It warms the soul. He's just so funny. And like great. I'm like, I'm not that angry because Bobby, you're doing Sinatra, you know? Like, like, of course you're talking about the Daves and stuff. That's literally the character you're playing. I want to believe you're not a piece of shit. I just remind myself he took this job so he could be closer to his daughter. He can't actually be that awful of a person. You know?
Yeah.
He's playing a character, and I gotta love him because he's so good at it. Unreal. But yeah, the first graphs of the evening, though, once we just stop trying to listen, Dungeon of Goon's own Joker, Hugh Morris. The things we find disturbing, he finds funny.
No, he's just some random big dude. They said, hey, will you wear a leotard? And he said, sure. That's all.
Can I giggle sometimes, do a moonsault? Yeah, sure, that's your character.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That was such a... Yeah, see, like 10 years ago, this would have been some local guy that they threw into the ring with Savage. They wouldn't have tried to pretend it's a character. It would have been like...
Yeah.
Larry Montez from, you know, and everyone would be like, yeah, okay, it's a guy in like a plain
Scott Taylor type. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and because Raw's still doing that. Raw is still good, honest to God, jobbers, damn it.
Right.
And it warms my heart. I'm not going to lie. I do. Yeah. It's one of the things I do. We're going to feed this guy to our new up and comer. Here comes Ahmed Johnson. Swallow this man. Oh, let's watch. You know? Yeah. Like,
but I mean, that's been a staple of pro wrestling forever, is that you have these complete no names to feed to build the storyline, because having a name character is almost a distraction when you're trying to build someone else.
Yeah, and it works for a reason, and I feel like you're right that they do. We're entering this era in the show here of when they start to kind of move away from that more, because they want to make everybody a big deal so they can get money off of the merchandise.
Everything,
everything. And it sucks, because like you kind of miss out on those. And like, it wasn't until I was late to the game on AEW, but when I started watching AEW and I was about 3 years in, and like, I forget exactly when it was, but there was a run there where they're just feeding no-name indie guys to Powerhouse Hobbs.
Right.
And I was like, God, I missed this. This specifically is really nice. Powerhouses just go kill people.
Right. And that's the thing, is like, it makes it even more effective, the fact that you don't know who these people are, because it shows that like, it doesn't matter, anything, anybody, he will destroy.
Exactly. You can throw anything at him. And what's great about AEW too is these aren't just no name jobbers. These are like folks who are local to the region who work the indies.
Right.
So it's great that they get on TV.
Right.
Like, it's great for the indie scene there, because they were on
the. And it's great for the crowd there, because a lot of them will recognize that guy because he's one of their local guys.
Exactly. So they get some heat for it, and that makes them more invested. And it's like, it's not. It's a good thing to do. And like, sometimes you do that and you get people who are really great. Look what happened with Action and Dream. It was supposed to just be another.
Right. But I mean, that's the reason why the territories did that for decades.
Yeah, it worked. Yeah. So like, I'm very happy that AEW is getting back to that. And I mean, I'm from Minneapolis. Like, I'm going to pop for Top Flight forever, because they're our local boys that made good, through that same process. And like, hell yeah, thank you, AEW, like, for bringing back the jobber match.
Right, because it's got a place to be. It makes sense. There's a reason why they did it. And the throwing it out and not doing it anymore,
it's not great.
And plus, when you're watching on TV too, it's kind of nice to know that, oh, okay, so I'm pretty sure I know how this is going to go, I can go pee. It'll be okay. I won't miss anything huge.
It's okay to have the popcorn match, you know? Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And what happens when you don't do that? You get Bill DeMott giggling in spandex as Hugh Morris. Yes. And it's like, this isn't, no one likes this.
No.
but thankfully, he's going to get his ass kicked. I do hope, by the most divorced man ever. unhinged hoss, Macho Man Randy Savage.
And the crowd is, they could not love him more. And
so
he's
much.
Always so good at working the crowd and reacting to the crowd. And this storyline, as distasteful as it is that they're pushing, they're like, oh, he's crazy, because crazy is, you know. He's still, the crowd loves him so much,
and he's so good.
So good.
Yeah, he does it, and that's in my notes too. They're really pushing the crazy, because like, oh, he's so unhinged. And it's like, I don't know. Seems to me he's just kind of chilling with the fans. Like you see, what are you gaslighting my guy here? His wife left him, you know. But all of this, like, that's the thing, is everyone's like, he's so unhinged. I'm like, I don't know. He seems to be reacting pretty normally to the heinous shit that Ric Flair is doing to him.
Right. And that's the thing, too, is, like, you can have a story. You've had stories before where Rick's stolen someone's girl, and it didn't make the person, ooh, he's mental hospital crazy. Yeah. It made the person, like, justifiably upset. And hell, got the crowd behind them. So I don't understand why they felt the need to do the, like, oh, he's cuckoo crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, they wanted to go the extra level. I don't know. Because it's where they're realizing, hey, it's 1996, too, and we got to up it. But, I mean, he literally. Bischoff. Yeah, Bischoff. And he literally did this to Randy before. He literally has done this to Macho Man before. This whole thing is a callback, basically. Right. So, yeah, it's whatever. And it's kind of funny they're pushing when he's just kind of, I'm having a time, you know?
He's just Randy. Yeah, there's not just anything Randy. Really different about him.
Not much at all. Like, Ric Flair in the commentary booth are gaslighting Randy Savage. But Humor immediately just starts hitting his ass fast. The crowd is rowdy, and I think it's full of ECW fans. So they are going to try to get on camera no matter what. And they have a sign that says Pillman's Click, like shoved in front of the cameraman. Who's
that was horrible. Yeah.
You know, and I was like, you know, I love ECW. I really do. I've talked about how great it is on the show, but we've established in the show now that sign making at wrestling shows was one of the earliest forms of shitposting. That makes ECW fans fucking 4chan, in my opinion.
Yes, I dig it. I sign on to that, absolutely. That was just one of those
science.
For the soft sciences, for like psych and sociology.
Yeah. We're doing anthropology here, everyone. No, ECW fans is 4chan, and I don't know. We'll see what the 8chan. I think 8chan is just Vince. Vince full McMahon in full attitude era is 8chan. It's like, yeah. We'll get there, kids. Yay.
I'm glad I'm not going to have to go there.
Yeah, I was going to say it. No, I'll invite you back for something heinous. you don't say that. I'm like, I'll torture you. I'll bring you back for a kiss my ass match or some shit. But not much to this match so much. No. So, thankfully, Hugh Morris steals Randy's gear and tries to wear it to pretend to be him, but he can't fit in the jacket, which kind of made me giggle. So it's just sort of hanging off.
It
kind of
made me giggle, but it also kind of made me, like, it screamed the whole, like, not ready for primetime-ness of him. Yeah. Because it's like okay, you're trying to mock the guy, you're trying to work the crowd, and you don't know how to do it.
Yeah, you really don't. You're getting, like, a little bit, but not really. And then Macho recovers enough to, like, kind of grab him by the eyeball and try to choke him with his jacket.
Help.
He then goes so far as to do the over-the-top rope, like, Adam Page style, hanging him with his own jacket.
DQs
him, yeah. And I was like, all right, cool. That was actually pretty, pretty baller. Calling for the bell. And, like, the bell at this point does not stop because Macho says, screw a match, I'm killing this clown. I'm ending him.
I think we're supposed to think it's just like, oh, because he's unhinged, but I want to think that it's more like Randy knows the crowd doesn't like this guy right now because he's just being a big giant doofus, so he's just gonna do us all a favor and we're never gonna have to see him again.
I was gonna say, yeah, no, exactly. I'm like, I think what he's actually going down here is not that he's unhinged, it's just like, you know, fuck this guy. I'm going to take care of this problem. Yeah, I like this. That's my headcanon. Thank you. Thank you, Jen, putting that in there. He gets it back into the ring as the bell continues. And we get the big old elbow. One more for good measure. Crowd seems happy. Yep. The ref is pissed, so Randy slaps him to death, is what I wrote down.
Pretty much.
He sold so hard. Like, he just slapped him to death. Now he's going so far as that he power slams the already dead ref. Another ref watches and begs him to stop, but he elbows the corpse of the ref, whom dies from a single slap. This just keeps going. The constant bell ringing. He won't stop. And then an army of refs and cops come out.
Because refs are very delicate.
Yeah, they're delicate flowers. They have all the authority, but if you touch them all over.
Yeah, that's why the matches are inside, because wind would just, they'd all shatter.
Like paper mache. Just
right.
Terrible. Tim White especially. Oh, God, that guy, you blow at him. Just blow at him and Timmy's down. And I want, it looks like Macho's spending the night in the Slammer. I want to believe that Stinger's do jail support for Macho. Like, you know, like pick him up, bring a joint, some sleep, some smokes. You know, like
the, I just brought him a cake. It's just a cake. There's nothing inside it. It's just a cake.
But you know, remember, folks, jail support is the most important part of direct action. The fans and have his back, of course.
Home economics.
Yes, exactly. You got to take care of your people. bring muffins, even. Folks love that shit. Matcha tea. We love us in the unhinged toss. They say crazy. I say like, I refuse to call him crazy. He's just doing the Hangman thing. And we love it when Hangman does arson. Why not Macho? You know, like, I feel like that's why MJF is. Yeah, MJF. I sound like fucking MJF right now, though. It's like, why not? Explain it to me. Like, let me do it. You're being hypocrites. Let me prove my point. And like, no, you don't. You don't get to light a guy on fire, dude. as much as it'd be great.
No. ECW is not a thing anymore.
Yes. Oh God. Yush. Ugh. I don't like it. Vince is taking notes of the unhinged toss and the guy getting arrested, though, because right now Steven is in a button up and Ray-Bans, and that's not going to work. And he's like, I like this Austin guy, but I got to do something. And maybe he should get arrested a year for now, and I'll act like it was my idea.
To be fair, the Ray-Bans are still better than the Ringmaster.
Yeah, holy hell. Yeah, he's wearing the black, at least. He's not, like, in random green because the million-dollar champion. Unger. Yeah. I don't like it. But yeah, damn it, there's graps to be had. Dean Malenko and Jushin fucking Thunder Liger.
And oh my God, this was awesome. This was so good.
It's so good. I became the Winnie Pooh gif of where he's like tying on the napkin to tuck in. Like, I am eating well. Liger looks amazing. He looks like a Power Ranger with like a fucking cape.
I had wrote down like complete like Power Ranger energy coming out.
Absolutely. And I was like, it's around that time. Like, I'm into it. Yes. That's what that other things that 8-year-old Garrick enjoyed. So no wonder I love this shit. Mako says that Sonny Ono is like Japan's equivalent of Jimmy Hart. Except he isn't. I don't think Sonny Ono is actually from Japan. Bobby says more like Donald Trump making big deals. And I was like, okay. So here we are. This lie has existed for so long.
Way before that, back in the 80s.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But they have been, like, entertainment has been feeding it to us for so long that no wonder a bunch of people actually believe that he like, knows what he's doing.
Because the manipulative businessman, that's been a thing for forever. That's just a classic trope. I mean... Yeah,
it's a character. It's his gimmick.
Yeah, yes, yeah, absolutely, yes. But I did get a kick out of like at the announce desk. They actually pushed like this is going to be technical wrestling.
Yes, whoop. Yeah,
that was exciting.
And it really is because like this match is cooking.
It is.
They did something I didn't like. They did the Raw thing a little bit where they take away from the amazing match to Rick in his tux with his collection of women. But that'll be more. Later,
but that's because they're also gonna not quite as untenably as the way that they were pushing Shawn Michaels nailing everybody in Raw, but they still need to keep pushing through the whole like this is our big story leading up to our pay-per-view, so we've got to make sure you know just how cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs he is, and it's because of this guy.
But they did it tastefully, you know. It was they pulled away a little bit, but they go back and when they go back, Liger brain busters the ever-loving hell out of Dean for two, so like I'm not mad.
I'm not either because they, like you said, that when they go back to the match, they actually focus on the match and
they keep with it.
Yeah, and one of my notes was just like, you know, Malenko's not just a strong man, he can really move, and you see that in this match with Jushin. It was it was good.
They get all tied up on each other, like they're doing all kinds of submissions, and there's just boots and butts, yeah. And like, yes, this is amazing technical wrestling.
Yeah.
All the while, Rick and the ladies are champagne.
And can I, so one thing, another thing that how they push this whole like stealing your woman angle so much better than Vince does is they have, like you said, it's classier and raw with the way that they're pushing boobs in the camera all the time with Sonny and all the, it was, they do so much more subtle and yet therefore more effective job on Nitro with the pushing the women.
And like at the end of the day, it's like hating on some women in general, but they are doing it almost more respectfully.
In
the sense that, because like woman, I feel like woman gets a lot of that across. I've talked about before, like you could say, like, because one guest we had was like, her name's just woman, like that seems awful. And I was like, here's the thing though, it's not because she's fucking woman. Like she is the most dastardly person there. Rick thinks that he is in control of a woman, but woman would like kill him in his sleep like a Roman Caesar, you know, like woman is,
it's like the embodiment of like the unexpected sort of the way women have to maneuver in the background but ultimately control
the power behind the throne. That's woman, and like that's why I never got icky feelings about woman that way.
Not the way that I do about Liz.
Different story. Liz, all those woman, it was just like, no, woman's just a bad bitch. Like woman just knows what she's doing, you know. Like that's fine. Woman is working flair. Let her get her money. Basically.
No, like she's making her own decisions very clearly.
Exactly. Like woman is actually in fact winning here. And I'm not mad at it for the distraction again, I say, because the fucking audacity of Flair is of setting up a table to have a VIP section in the middle of a wrestling show pleases me to no end. It's great. Silly, ridiculous storytelling that is similar to what Vince is trying to do better than he ever did, basically. The execution is just so much better.
Well, Flair has been this character forever.
Decades at this point. So he's got it. Like a decade and a half.
He's got it down. He is fantastic at this. And they're good at the little, undernotes to it, too. Because again, I mean, I hate that they felt the need to call it out, but it is, they didn't belabor it, was the idea that he's the scumbag who, of course, you know, ultimately is a coward because he waited until Randy was out of the building.
Yep, exactly. He waited till Randy was gone to set up his little, And that's the kind of thing where in a more media literate world, before, you know, like that thing we're dealing with now where all the anti-heroes, all these guys see the anti-heroes and they think that, like, this asshole is the good guy. It's like, no, Walter White was, in fact, a monster. Rick Sanchez is the villain of Rick and Morty. You don't realize that. Even 1996, there's still, that's what's great about wrestling is, Ric Flair is this asshole who is like trying to fuck Mongo's wife in front of him on live TV with collecting women. And he's this piece of shit, but he's a coward. And we're going to make sure you understand. Supposed to hate him.
It's a multi-dimensional character,
right? It's really good stuff. Speaking of good stuff, Eric tells us that May and June is going to get very interesting in WCW. And I'm like, wait, is he already talking to Scott and Big Kev? Like, interesting. Maybe like the curtain call hasn't happened yet, but okay.
I don't remember when they started those talks.
It's got to be coming up because it's the end of this month is when Scott Hall comes out and AOs. So like because you're talking about that or the Luchas and the Cruiserweight title, we'll see. Either way, excited. Garrick is excited. Bobby gets caught up defending Sonny Ono and he like admits that he's on the take. He's like,
that's so perfect for Bobby. He's so classic. It's been him for so long, that idea of like he accidentally overspeaks and shows his ass, basically. And he's so good at it. It never
goes out of style, basically.
No.
You know who's been, as far as like relaying to modern stuff, who's been, I think I can tell that he's been like dipping into the pool of Heenan, is MVP on commentary AEW. He has been paying attention to the classics, you can tell. And I'm love you, man. Like, holy shit. MVP is so great. I'm so happy in general that he's back and getting to do more. And he's being able to like have that kind of more control into it, that he can like do that, you know,
do that stuff. Yes,
because I don't think we don't notice, dude, because I know, well, I'm like, that's Bobby Heenan shit, you're doing Bobby Heenan, please do more Bobby Heenan. Yes. Call us humanoids. I will pop so hard if you call me a humanoid. Yeah, like I will.
Yes.
But as far as Graps, Liger hits a elbow like Hakushi, and just to let us know that New Japan Wrestling is, you know, still the best, always has been. everyone pops because Mongo.
Well, he's just amazing in this match too. Good. How much emotion he conveys. Well, he can't use, you know, there's no face. Yeah. He's got a mask, and he's still able to make so much clear.
He was on the Nitro, and he a reoccurring character on our show. Mm-hmm. I will never stop saying good things about him, dude. Like, he's just so he still shows up at spots. God, I like her. And like, he doesn't even have to wrestle. I'm just going to go.
It's just exciting to be there. Oh my God, yeah.
I can't believe you there. Mask of the thing. I'm an easy mark. Mongo does his.
But that's the thing is, like, if it's done well, you should be.
Yeah, you should be. That's a good thing. Yeah. it's a good thing to be an easy mark. And like this match, I'm an easy mark for the match as well. Like, it cooks. Malenko, to get finisher, goes for a power bomb. Liger just kind of sits on his chest for two, and then he ends up like hitting Liger with a tiger bomb. He sets it up, a tiger bomb of all things, for three. And like, holy shit, what a match. Like,
oh, it was fantastic. Like, I get why we had to pull away to do the flare bit, but I wish it wasn't this match that we had to pull away to do it in.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I get it, but whatever. And like, speaking of Nature Boy, we come back from commercial and we're like, we're going to talk to them now. We got Women and Liz, and Rick lets us know that he is very rich and he is very rude. His masculinity is, in fact, insecure. He lets us know all these things. And he tells us that the giant guy, get his belt back. He then sings to himself about being humble. all this.
But see, what's nice here is like, okay, whereas when Raw had someone on the mic who can talk, Vince had to jump into it.
Yeah.
He couldn't just let those two talk.
Yeah.
Whereas at least here, they know enough. Like, he's been doing this longer than you.
Just let him go.
Shut up and let him do it. He's good at it.
He's good at it. Even when he's being like, honestly, almost nonsensical, it's making enough sense to be like, nah, I get it. And it's his movement. Yeah. So he almost comes drunk. And I feel like that's what he's trying to get. He's like acting drunk. And you realize, oh no, this is on purpose. Holy shit, that piece of shit is a genius.
He is.
Because all this is exposition with Rick and the girls. And it does a great job. He tells us how Slamboree's all this. Yep. He tries to sleep with Mongo's wife again. Great. He dumps out his drink in boundary. So naturally, Rick makes a joke about his dad. You know, like, that's it. Because that's what you do. Of course. Yeah. Because it's Rick. Oh, God, I hate him. Macho Man, though. Then we come back from commercial. He hypnotizes us with a little watch. I had a little bit of nostalgia there, quick nap. And I was like, oh, that's nice. That's gonna show up in my dreams. That's good. That's terrifying. back to the Graps. It's Regal time. British Lord that talks like a worker in Blackpool. he's all stitched up because last week, Belfast Bruiser beat him up with four trucks, basically. They had.
Yep.
That was so good, though. That was such a good time. He is
and it was so great that they carried it over too.
Yeah, and I honestly think that he might actually be real sore still. Because a lot of this match was like he's doing a lot of really great crowd work, but also like that's Regal's thing too, is that he's talked about how he'll like pay attention to the crowd before it's his time to go out because they're the type of crowd it is going to tell him what type of match he works, basically.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And he gives great face.
Oh, yeah. The best face. And you could tell that he paid attention. He's like, oh, there's Chanters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, I'm a piss off these Chanters. Like, he got off.
Yep. Yep.
Right in the ECW guy's face at him. It was so good. And I think that he really played into that too, because he had to have been sore, you know? So it's like a lot of it was doing that, a lot of like, matching of strength stuff, but he also took a couple mm-hmm. real big bumps, and it just mm-hmm. all comes down to God. I love Regal. Like, Regal's so good at that.
yeah, he's really good at being that not quite top of the card, but not really undercard either.
He's the king guy. He's the king of getting the assignment and knowing how to like just do his shit. And he's doing all, I forget too, he's doing all of this with a broken neck. That we wouldn't find out until decades later. And I always got to mention that, because it blows my mind. Because what the fuck, my guy? All of this is wild. It was an amazing match, even though Sting is kind of dressed like like a bar rod. Like, I don't have...
Well, where it's that evolution from, like, Beach Bum Sting.
He's not and there, it's still, yeah.
It's working its way, but this crowd, like, from the second he walks out, they're ready to sign over their firstborn child
yeah,
to him.
No, they're so losing it. Yeah, he's like... I do have to mention, because it was wild, the time machines that are totally not being built in my sub-basement. There's a pink sign that reads, TNT is dynamite. Now, as we know, TNT is collision. Dynamite's on TBS. But it was close. And that was a freak me out.
Yeah.
I had to go. Yeah, I had to go back. Well. Yeah.
We're in that whole time is a flat circle thing here. Big time.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, wait a minute. This is I'm doing this show too long already. I'm starting to see shit. but it was pretty fun.
But it was, and you know, the desk is really good on this again.
Yeah, they
because
did.
They're pushing Slamboree, but they're tying it to the match that we're watching.
Yes, which isn't that hard to do, Vince. Take notes.
No. Oh. But they're also they just start laying the groundwork for later on in the show too.
Yeah.
With the you know, it's by implying that it's disappointing that Luger's not here to support his partner.
Yeah, exactly. That's a dark time for him. Blah blah blah. Speaking of a dark time for Stinger though. I do have to say, unfortunately, you know, this is the start of a program, I think, him and Regal, and he likes to make fun of Regal for being prissy, and it's the only time, is like literally the only thing I've ever seen of made me go, oh, it is like when he jokes about trying to straighten Regal, and like, we're getting there. It's unfortunate. We'll get Crow soon, and he'll stop talking, which is all I've ever really wanted from Steve Borden. It's just don't talk, just wrestle, please. Like, I love you, buddy. It's not, don't meet your heroes, kids.
yeah,
I think
that is a good,
yeah. So he does this little like limp wrist taunt at Regal because of how he thinks he's gay because of how British he is, I guess. And I mean, that happens all the time. Well, I needed confirmation on Ben Whishaw. I get it.
I hate to say it, but it's the style of the time.
Yeah, it's the 90s.
It's that whole, like, it's that blend of the whole, like, upper crust sort of can't hold your own concept tied into, obviously, you know, being unable to defend yourself would be feminine sort of.
Yeah.
That was just how it was. And, you know, he's not the only one who does that sort of stuff towards Regal.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the... That's just not saying that it's okay, but that's just how it was.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, that's so much of what our show is. I mean, that's what I started as. Like, it's me and a bunch of other queer wrestling fans going, let's process some shit, huh? You know, let's go have some fun, kids. Come on, girls.
I mean, well, it's a prime example of like, you know better, so you do better.
Yeah, now we know better. Yeah.
Right.
But you have to look back on and be like, okay, well, there's a reason that I was in the closet for so long, because this is what is what was being
how it
to
was.
Me. Yeah. So like, it's understandable of like, okay, I feel less bad about taking to my 30s to come out, because like, what do you expect when this is what is being fed to us? It would never meet your heroes, kids.
Or
in this case, look back at their work as a grown-up.
Well, it does, it being able to look back does, like you said, it makes we understand why we had made the decisions we made a lot better.
A lot better.
Being
yeah.
able to look back at it again.
No,
yeah.
And that's why God, we could have no listeners. I'd still probably do this show because it's just like, it truly is fascinating to me. Pull random people sometimes off my timeline, quite like you, like random people off the internet and go, okay, can we just like talk about this? Like, can we talk about this thing that happened to all of us in the 90s? Like that this was just like, and it's like kind of directly responsible for the hellscape that we're living in because it gave politicians and more importantly, Trump, the concept of kayfabe. And like they've used it to break our country, basically.
I can't remember that. I know that there's a lot of talk about, you know, how much his time with wrestling really impacted his campaigning and his style. And it's so, especially when you look back to the stuff at this time period that we're watching, and it's just like 10 foot tall blinking neon letters when you review it at now. Yeah,
it's like seeing the code in the Matrix. It's like, oh no, you're going, oh wait, oh wow,
no, I get it.
Okay, so this has been a thing, and then read Josie's book, and you're like, oh, he's been a wrestling fan since he was a kid. Okay, right. This no wonder. All right, this is it was inevitable to a certain extent. Like, oh god. Speaking of inevitable, Sting ends up winning this match. And it a really some way I will give him this. Regal goes to get him in like an underhook suplex, and instead Sting stands up with him still hooked.
Yes.
And it's not even like a backdrop. He literally like slams down on top of him and keeps the hook and bridges for the pin.
Yes. Ah, yes.
And the crowd goes wild.
And that's one thing Sting always does. It feels like he works in a bridge in his pins more than everyone else.
Well, he knows what longtime listeners know, that wrestling is in fact all about bridging the pin combination. Damn it. Like it's what makes it better. It's like a sprinkle of MSG. Like, it's a good dish, but it could be better if you just bridge.
So much better if you just did this.
Yeah, just bridge that German, damn it. Yeah. Oh, so that was a fun enough match. We come back from commercial and it's Luger's music going, but instead Jim Duggan. And I'm like, wait, that's Jim Duggan. Bobby says it has to be.
Yeah.
No one else would look that stupid. And I was like, yes, indeed.
Again, because Bobby is a freaking, he is a poet on that announcement.
He's on
man.
Fire. He's so on fire.
He is so good.
He's just like, I'm ready. And you give me Duggan. That's so ammo. There's so much ammunition.
Well, plus he's been working doing with Duggan for decades now.
Yeah, back to like AWA days. Like these guys have been working together forever. The commentary booth is confused. The fans are having a great time though. Duggan, he's waving his flag, he's all up, and Regal just got done getting American Revolution heat, so they're all USA.
Well, I mean, when he first comes out, the crowd isn't buying it because they are confused, like you said.
Yeah,
but
they want the Lex, yeah.
But as soon as it's clear that what we're doing here, then they're all behind
him. Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I would be, because like, good for Jim, because I wasn't sure what was happening here. The Gooner music hits, the Dungeon of Doom music hits.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, it's a Gooner. And then it's like, oh, it's the Giant. He's main eventing Nitro. Like, holy shit. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to go well for him, but good on you, Duggan. Giant gets booed hard, and I imagine this isn't going to be a 5-star classic, but you know, it should be all right. Duggan is smart. He doesn't wait for the bell. He just starts trying to take him down.
Right
So he eventually stuck.
Which makes sense for like the lovable doofus who's taken his chance.
Yeah, he's like, I gotta get him down right away. And he stops to get a USA chant going. Like, just come on, power me up with your jingoism. It feeds me like spinach, you know.
Yes, the Duggan version of like hulking.
Yes, yes, exactly. It's feed me the America. Take down the Giant.
Right.
For a bit there, though, like it didn't go well. Giant's like just squishing Duggan in the corner, with his body kind of rubbing on him, like Baloo scratching his back and a tree.
Well,
like.
It's the whole, where again, it's a throwback to Andre with the whole the pull in the related kind of thing that they were sort of doing with this character and
They're letting it go. I feel like we are firmly in the slowly letting it go. I gotta say though, as far as weird moves go, that might fix me. I mean, it gives a talk about full body massage, like
full
like,
contact. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. No, I'm going to massage you with my full body. I'm like, yeah, like, let's do that. It's gotta feel good. So this goes on for a bit.
It's like a weighted blanket, kind of.
Yeah, a really, really weighted blanket.
Weighted blanket.
Yeah, a Paul White weighted blanket.
And one thing though in this match though is like, they're all so much younger because like he's so much more limber.
Yeah, he's a baby.
You know, he's throwing that leg right up. You know, he's really
like it's nothing. Yeah, now you see him and it's like, oh, damn, dude, you're old. I still can't believe you got power slammed on the hood of a car that one time on AEW a while back. Yeah. I was like, dude, stop. I love you. Don't do that anymore. Freaking me out.
Yeah, it hurts just to watch it, and not because I'm supposed to believe it hurts, but because it will hurt you.
Yeah, and like I'm in my 30s even. I'm watching it just going, oh, like, my back, sir. My back goes out watching it. This goes on for a bit for Duggan. He's run out of tricks, so he goes to his table. But Giant's like, no. Choke slams him.
Yeah.
And then I checked the time and I was like, there's 5 minutes left. I was like, is he just going to play with his food? And he kind of does. He slams him a bit. And then we get an old favorite of mine that they bring back where they just start sending every wrestler in street clothes to the ring to get eaten by the Giants. Even Flair comes with a chair. It's not working. Sting.
But the run out is necessary.
Yeah, you gotta
to get us to what the cliffhanger that we're gonna end on.
Exactly, because Sting even tries to save Flair, and everyone come to slay the Giant. And I'm easy because I could watch this. I'm like, this is fantastic.
And again, they do the multi-dimensional character with Flair because he comes out to show off that he's the man, he can do this. But he comes out with a chair.
He comes out with a chair because he's not that much.
Because he knows he can't.
Yeah, yeah, and then this is a giant.
So damn good.
Yeah, because I just lost my belt to this guy. He just kicked my ass. I want to get choke slammed again. That sucked. So
right.
Sting is WCW's conquering hero. He gets him down, almost gets the leg lock, but Jimmy Hart breaks it up. And finally, here comes Lex Luger in what appears to be a zoot suit romper.
Again, we go back to it was the fashion at the time.
I'm into it. I didn't say anything.
Yeah,
I'm into it.
It's like the Z Cavaricci pants sort of thing we're going with.
I kind of want it in a skirt. I'm not gonna lie. I was like, I'd wear it. But a sick of
they. It's Cavaricci did do shorts.
There you go.
Just to let you know.
Oh shit! I'm gonna be looking that up.
Sicko's
our hot dog man boyfriend is stylish tonight, but gold Labrador puppy boyfriend Sting is pissed at him. They yell at each other. Basically, it's great because I like the way this ended. I was like, that was abrupt. And I remembered like the weirdness of the timing of this is like they're just yelling at each other until someone tells Mean Gene that basketball's starting. Get the hell out of there.
Right. It's like, we got another minute or two. Come on.
Made more sense. Yeah. Have a lover's quarrel until Mean Gene's like, but what a nitro.
But again.
Yeah, that was a hell of a nitro.
But Bobby Heenan being the perfect announce desk. Natch. They're wrapping the show. They're pulling out. And you're Heenan. Hit him. At the very, very end. He throws that in like the master that he is with this painting. He knows it needs that one last little brushstroke up.
Just one little accidental call for violence. Happy tree. Yeah.
God, that was perfect.
Yeah. No, he really is the master of his craft. This really is a Bobby Heenan love podcast is what this whole show is.
Anybody who has any familiarity with old wrestling,
they know,
prior to like 2000, you can't not love the brain.
He's undeniable, basically. Yeah, well, you just can't. That's where he's undeniable. Bobby Heenan, he's the best. But yeah, we did it. We got through the whole show,
and he's the best because on the note of like being a good human being and not a humanoid.
Yeah,
he was the only person. When Vince was going through and stealing everybody from everywhere back in the 80s, he gave Gagne his 2 weeks with AWA, and he actually worked it.
He actually worked it where, like Hogan was out. Like
everyone just left.
Everyone left. And, because, Gagne wouldn't sell out. He rode that. Oh, gosh. I talk about a lot, but listeners, if you ever want to do a, not what I do here. Here, I make funny little silly. the lapsed fan does the real work. Have a whole story and came from, and you can hear the sad tale of the Gagnes.
He kicked that dead horse until the bones had turned to powder. Yeah,
that's our local guy. Like, holy shit, everyone. It's amazing. Sometimes I'll go and rant random people. Because I do dog things, so I meet a lot of strangers, and they'll be like, "What do you do?" I'm like, "I podcast. What wrestling?" And they get this, "What?" And I like look on their face, like, oh, "God, no, I already asked." I'm like, "I know, but it's too late. You did."
careful what you ask for.
We're in Minneapolis, the home of the AWA, and it's I'm not going to hear about it because of who I am as a person. This is why I podcast. I'm not a writer. I'm a ranter. speaking of the best,
many columnist gigs anymore. Yeah, right? So this is what you got to do.
Radio doesn't exist. We make our own. But we have moved on to the last two questions of this gig. Do you have a favorite match this week?
I'm gonna say Malenko and Liger.
Yeah, I kind of have to do
that. That was just so freaking good.
As far as matches go, I really have to give it to Malenko and Liger. The other question would be who won this week, Nitro or Raw? I think needless.
Oh, hands down.
Yeah.
The guys who didn't feel the need to try and sell boner pills.
Yeah. Exactly. No, we will sell you boners through you popping so hard for the graps. Exactly.
Exactly. The way it's supposed to be. Yeah,
the way the Lord intended. We'll get you hard with sweaty men wrestling in the ring. Yeah. Wait. whoops. but yes.
Hey, that's the real boners. Yes, not the fear boners. That's who won.
I don't know. Mago has been doing the Tobias Fuque thing for a couple weeks where he keeps saying stuff where I'm like, did you hear what you just said, Mago? Like, that's a...
that's just him. That's not him. A few weeks. That's just
Mago. Yeah. Thankfully, he will be going in the back and finding some trunks soon. Thankfully, holy crap! But hey, we did it.
That poor Chihuahua can rest.
Yes,
now.
He can go back into his mama's arms and not be used. Oh, Pepe. I don't think we even, we didn't even talk about Pepe. Obligatory Pepe talk. He was a sailor this week, folks. He was a little sailor guy.
Yes.
He was a little guy. He was a Navy.
Yes. The cutest little cat.
Yeah, he's a good one. Well, thank you, Jen, for answering my...
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for answering my random call. And not for the sake of science, but the sake of home ec. Because other studies need their support as well. And I agree.
Yes.
So thank you for letting me prod you and wrestling at you.
Oh, thank you for giving me the excuse to ramble on about old wrestling for a couple of hours.
Oh, yeah.
Because my husband really has hit his fill on this.
Exactly. you've hit on another reason why I did the podcast. I was like, I have to talk about this shit to someone. So I'll just I'm giving the consent listener, you know, if you want.
Yes,
you can. Otherwise, I'm just gonna do it anyway. But if you should let people, if you want, know where to find you. If not, don't. But this would be if you have anything to promote or anything like that that you want to do, or your shit posts. We're all shit posters, are we not?
No, we are, and that's really like I'm old and tired.
I got nothing.
Do any stuff anymore?
Yeah, you watch wrestling, but yes, thank you. Big mistake on the Blue Sky, at the very least. You will often see Jen riffing on Wrestle Sky and I occasionally at least.
Because I'm old, I get tired.
Yeah, we oh god, don't we all. But thank you for hanging out.
Thank you for inviting me in. This was great.
Absolutely.
And there were some really good matches on this to talk about. And
yeah,
some really horrible stuff to whine about.
Yeah, too, so you really, you got the full gambit of the show. You really did. You got the full gambit.
All the emotions.
All of them. But thank you folks for listening. And we will see you next week for Nitro on Monday Night Fake Fights. Okay, bye.
Bye. Sounds great. Bye.